You thought Pokemon Go in Japan was late to the party? We're talking E3 in late July on Boss Barrel Radio. Intro music.
Can we keep this in post? Just like stick the intro music in and then just leave the whole part of you singing intro music?
Yeah, do you want me to send you a copy of that? Just cut out too?
Yeah. Okay. Just like to use as my phone ringtone?
Advanced spoilers too. I have a copy of the E3 press conference standby music that I will be using liberally in this podcast.
So much house music.
Oh yes,
so much.
So speaking of house music, this isn't music, but who is in the house? I am Griff Hoffman. Like I said, this is Boss Barrel Radio, and with me is my co-host Jeff Brewer.
Hello.
Sadly, we are lacking a Dr. James Scherer this week. He is out and about. Studying the ill effects of Pokemon Go on people walking into streets.
I heard there was a disaster in the ER, and he's currently treating like 40 patients. And then like one of the doctors was hurt, and it's very dramatic. I think that's how it works, right? Like once a year, like one doctor dies or something terrible happens. Seen it on TV, so.
Oh yeah, like a helicopter crashed or a school bus caught on fire.
Usually around like May or June, like something terrible goes down, and then like. Usually you have to wait like a year or so to find out what it's kind of weird. I don't know. Yeah. Like
the whole, all the power in the hospital went out. And,
yeah. Uh-huh. They really should like beef up their funding for the May, June season.
They really, season of hospitals. You mean,
right? Yes. Yeah.
That's funny because I thought that he was, currently playing Trauma Center and trying to create the new personal best record on the speedrun of that.
Well, you know, you're not,
which
a good
is
doctor.
What I always assume when he says I'm studying.
You're not a good doctor unless you have the healing touch that Derek Stiles has.
Oh,
guys,
right.
I don't know if you knew this, but Stiles sounds like stylus. Also, Derek Stiles. I don't know if you knew this one is DS. And did you know what platform Trauma Center started on?
Tell me.
Oh, well, you're in for a surprise. It's the Nintendo DS.
You know, I thought that nobody, that the miles per hour. Like thing syndrome, the miles per hour condition that everybody supposedly had didn't exist until I was watching SGDQ this summer, and they pointed that out on the Trauma Center speedrun of it being Derek Stiles on the DS, and I was like, "Well, color me yellow and give me two tails, because I just son of a bitch didn't know that that was the thing."
Wait, you didn't know that was the thing?
I didn't know that was the thing.
That was like all the rage when the DS came out, man. Everything was fucking DS. It was like Dawn of Sorrow.
Right, I understand that part of it, but I didn't put that connection together that his character's name was referencing the DS.
It runs deep, man. It runs real deep.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with Japan?
What is... Right?
That's true. Everything is right.
Right. I mean, it's like if something came out of the PlayStation 4 and they just kept calling everything 4, wouldn't that be awesome?
Right? Yeah, I know. That'd be really weird.
Right.
That is actually quite odd, that the fourth entry of several major franchises that began on the PS3 are coming out, or rather came out for the PS4.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is very weird. Anyway.
So, yeah, speaking of entries coming out on consoles, like we alluded to in the intro, it's time to do a little E3 recap. Those of you who are listening who are like, oh, bah humbug, I've already been there, done that. Suck it.
I was there. Were you there, Griffin?
I wasn't there. I blacked out. I black out always when I'm talking.
How
Who's
do you
that?
Know E3 happened
I heard an echo.
If you weren't there?
Exactly. How would you know if E3 fell in a forest and nobody was around, would anybody hear it?
Listen, E3 didn't come from a monkey, okay? That's just sacrilege.
The Jews buried E3.
E3 was embedded in the fossil layer. We're getting real off the rails here.
Yes, we are. So let's get back on track and just do a little purview here of what's about to happen. So obviously E3 happened. It was a while ago. Yeah. We haven't been podcasting for a while because, I'll be honest, it's not out of laziness this time. It's just out of social things that have been happening in all three of our lives, obviously. Jamie can't be here right now.
Yeah. I just got out of prison, so there's that.
Yeah, that 3-month stint you did in in the slammer?
Yep. That's what I think actually they call it a pog.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. The non sequiturs, man. I'm just dropping them down.
Dropping them down like towers of pogs, yes.
Right? There you go.
So we're going to just kind of give our impressions in a formalized way. I should say before that. So those of you who are consistent listeners, and more importantly for us, we made some bets, I believe, before the E3 from long time ago.
Do you have those, like, on hand? Because I don't even know where those puppies live.
I don't have them on hand, but I will dig them up, and we will get you the official statistical results as I find them, and we correlate them to the actual happenings of E3. But I can tell you this, as a bit of foreshadowing, Jeff probably nailed everything.
Except there was like only one Nintendo thing, so I don't know, man. Like, yeah. That's not really my element, so.
Yeah, exactly. Nintendo, yeah. Definitely the weak card in your deck.
Yeah.
So, the first thing we want to talk about here. Oh, speaking of which, we're not going to do a rundown. Previous years, we've done like a rundown of E3, like beat by beat what happened. We're assuming that you're a smart, educated person who's listening to this. Thank you, because you probably are. And we're just going to give our impressions on the things we liked, didn't like. If you did like or didn't like or something and disagree with us, you can email us and we'll read it. or we can just become best friends. That'd be cool, too.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, you want to take it away and talk about what you liked of E3 2016?
Sure, and I think the way I was thinking about going at this is just sort of hit the major press conference beats sort of in the order that they appeared and talk about what worked for me. And, Griff, I'm thinking where appropriate, you can just kind of jump in and give your thoughts. Does that sound like a good way to do this? Because I think we're pretty united on a lot of this stuff, but I'd love to hear some of that friction sort of where you're like, I don't know about that, man. Or do you want to like break it down?
Why don't we start with what's on this list about what you liked, and then we can like cover our bases afterwards if there's anything more we want to talk about.
Okay. All right.
Because I'm sure there will be plenty.
All right. So I'll start off and talk about one thing that was really a highlight for me from the Bethesda event, which was Dishonored 2. Griff, I know you're not a huge fan of this franchise, as I recall.
Nope.
And I'm not going to say there's anything in this game that's really going to sway someone who wasn't into it to begin with, but I love it. I mean, it looks great. The stream that we were watching was pretty choppy and kind of framey, and that's a little bit troubling, although as I understand that was just a streaming issue and not an issue with the actual quality of the game. The engine is gorgeous. I think the choice of two protagonists is pretty cool. I don't really care about returning to Corvo. I'm a lot more excited to mess around with Emily.
I bet you are.
Oh my god. We're starting early. it's more of the same. I'm loving the new thematic elements shifting away a little bit from sort of the whale oil and more towards I seem to recall it was like wind based or something like that. Super gorgeous, super exciting. I'll take a million more stealth games, please. So I mean, I don't feel like I have a lot to say about that except that it pretty much delivers more Dishonored, and I'm very cool with that. But that for me was kind of the only thing that I really was excited about in the Bethesda conference. I mean, people, what else even was there that was shown that even left a mark? Like, Quake was a
Quake,
CGI trailer,
the CGI
yeah.
trailer, yeah,
yeah, a lot of CGI trailers, and I really can't. In most cases, CGI trailers just don't register for me at all. So the fact that we saw Dishonored 2 in a serious way. And that it delivered on that front definite win for me. Moving right along, though, and I think we're both go ahead.
Just to go back to what you asked, was there any other big thing? You said Quake. The other thing was when they did that boot dock, like they did a boot sequence of, a DOS boot sequence of kind of loading the press conference, and there was like a Wolfenstein potentially DLC, potential sequel. There was some kind of hint towards something future Wolfenstein there as one of the Durs. So that was like kind of something that was a nice little Easter egg and nod to fans that, you know, people could pull out of the screenshots later. So that's cool because I like Wolfenstein.
Yeah, that was real cute. Definitely a good hype builder right there. But I felt like for me, Bethesda was a solid block, and they're owning kind of the fact that they're doing these events now, and they are a big deal. But not a lot of stuff there that really stuck with me. Like, I was excited to see Prey, but I just can't, in good conscience, with only a CG trailer, like really get on that train yet.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
well, since you brought up Prey, what I was really thrilled about Prey was I read the design doc that had leaked for Prey, and I am happy because all three potential directions that the design doc laid out sound really cool, and I'm glad that they kind of melded them into one and just in that trailer conveyed what they're kind of going with that. I mean, obviously the obvious bummer is it's not Prey 2, the trailer that was shown like 4 years ago that looked bananas, but as like kind of like a BioShock System Shock sort of thing, like this game looks freaking sweet.
Oh, I was loving the vibe. My problem is I need to see the actual game.
Yeah, I don't believe.
I mean, there's a reason that EA was the first event and neither of us are going to be talking about it with what we liked. Because they are the masters of the CG trailer. Mm-hmm. but no, I'm with you, Griff. I mean, definitely the ambiance was fantastic, but it doesn't make my list just because I need to see it. I really do.
Understandable. Yep.
Yeah.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. I want the gold. Give me the gold. All right. Maybe we're getting too obscure here.
Yep, I was drinking.
Leprechauns. Leprechauns and treats. Anyway, carrying right along here. I'm just going to say I really liked the Ubisoft event a lot. I thought that even when I was looking at games that I didn't really care about in that event, I was having a good time, and I felt like I was watching people who enjoyed their craft, who were trying to make their products better. For example, Watch Dogs 2 is a good example of that. I saw some genuine effort to adjust the tone and sort of improve the feel, make it kind of more of a lighthearted, sort of subversive, entertaining sort of thing, rather than kind of this brooding, you know, like dark hacking story, which is great. I'm pretty excited about that. But two big standouts for me in that event, in terms of actual games, are For Honor, which I thought was a fascinating demo. I really love what they were doing with the combat. I think they found a way to do, because I feel like combat in Western action games has been a real sore spot. I think that a lot of people kind of go the Arkham approach, which is sort of this like pseudo quick time combat, which has never really resonated with me. And then there's sort of the Eastern Western, which is the Dark Souls approach, which really I feel like only From Software can do well. But For Honor actually did this weird thing where they seem to manage to stake out new ground in combat, using this sort of interesting three zone system.
Yes.
For defending yourself and attacking. And I was really excited about it. It looked strategic. It looked heavy. It looked consequential. Like, if you fuck up, then you're going to be punished.
Yes.
And I was thrilled to see them unveil a campaign, because I think it always looked like a fun multiplayer game. But what they were giving me there also looked like a great time. And, anytime that guy...
Oh, Beard King guy is the best guy in the entire world.
...takes the stage, I just am filled with delight.
Yeah.
So that was a real standout. And the other big standout for me, for Ubi, and I'll want to hear if you had any takeaways from Ubi that you liked, Griff. Just having Trey Parker and Matt Stone on that stage is always fun.
Oh, my God. It's always good.
It's always good, and they make the best jokes, and Fractured But Whole looks like, again, you know, it's more of what we liked in Stick of Truth, pretty comparable humor. I'm sure it'll be fun. I appreciated how, like, inside baseball they got in talking with that producer about sort of when they were doing, like, design docs for the game. I thought that was pretty cool, how open they all were about it. It makes me excited to see what they're doing. So those were kind of my highlights for Ubi. Did you have anything that really stuck with you, Griff?
Yes. Thank you, actually, for throwing that to me, because I know I'll forget this. So later we have a question that's like, what did you hear outside of the conference? And when I was watching the For Honor presentation, I definitely did not get hit with the same kind of like admiration for the combat decisions that they made that you did, Jeff. Mm-hmm. But after listening to some podcasts and some people that actually were hands-on with it,
yeah,
the way you described it, I guess it just didn't reach me. Like, it's not just quick time events. Like, it's much more complicated than that. And there's a lot of depth there, and it's actually a very fascinating, interesting way to bring combat into, like, a new light that, you know, typically Ubisoft does not do. So
I know they're all about bloat in, like, really simple, like, just like
the Assassin's Creed methodology.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was really happy to hear that what I saw and was like, I don't believe that, or I don't understand that. You know, just like Jeff, you spelled it out. That is how it is. Like, there is actual impressive depth to it. Mm-hmm. The other thing for the Ubisoft press conference that I really loved was, just like their genuine nature. Like the genuine nature that surrounded their presentation. So the prelude was Ubisoft and Bethesda, which is, you know, absolute crater in the earth to, you know, like surface level, much better quality. To skipping right over Microsoft because we'll get to there later, but like, people who genuinely love their craft, like, love the games they're doing, are proud of what they're doing, like, very humble, very realistic, like, kind of, you know, the press conference that you would want to go to a dinner with and have a drink, like, or go and drink at a bar with, like, there was nothing pretentious, there was nothing like last year where it's like, let's talk to this cosplayer in the crowd, like, everything felt like they hit their notes in a really genuine way of like, hey, game player, we've somehow probably accidentally found a sweet spot of how to talk to you.
Well, it's fascinating because it's like a lot of the ingredients were the same, but somehow whatever they mixed together this time was so much more compelling than last year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't know exactly why, but it really just worked.
I mean,
it's very refreshing.
We can speculate all day as to what caused it and you know, all that, but I can just tell you, like, there are just so many genuine moments on that stage, like the introduction where they, you know, kind of acknowledged the massacre that had happened hours before, and the, like, I'll talk about later, like the Star Trek VR garbage that, like, almost had me in tears. Like,
that was the one part I did not care for, but I understand people really, you know, are connected to that series.
Sure, there's just like so many accidental things that worked so well on so many different levels, and you know, bringing Beard King guy back out on a stage, like, it's like, yes, you did it. You guys know, you know your audience for once.
That guy needs to come to every party.
Yes, that guy needs to DM the Dungeons and Dragons campaign of everybody's. Like, he needs to provide that service of like a podcast that's just him DMing a campaign.
I wanted to say, unless we had more stuff to say on the Ubi front, I had forgotten that we skipped right over Microsoft because I actually didn't watch that live and didn't return to it. But I'd be very curious to hear some of your thoughts on the Microsoft event, Griffin, if there was a standout moment for you there that really, you know, left a good mark on you, or what sort of the stuff that's important that came out of that?
There is a standout moment, and I think we'll get to that later. But in terms of things that I really liked about their press conference, there was nothing they showed that I was like, oh, yes.
Sea of Thieves.
Right. If you want to say, like, if we're, yeah. There's nothing that I would say, did you like this? They had a very workman-like press conference. It was very solid. Like, no, just like last year, they did all the right things, hit all the right notes. Yeah, so.
ReCore?
Continue with your list.
All right. Microsoft, you know, they put in a showing, but nothing that really wowed us, except for something we'll talk about later. So moving right along, we'll talk Sony and stuff that stood out to me. Big surprise for me, huge surprise, because I was really fatigued with this series. God of War. I think that it was effectively, I would call it a pretty big, maybe not a rebrand, but I would call it a readjustment of tone, of theme, of sort of what they were aiming for with the character and with the world. And it hit me in a very surprising way. For people who didn't see, you know, there's a new God of War. We're in, you know, Northern Europe now. We have Norse themes going on. Kratos is a dad. Kratos is like behaving as a father figure. Kratos is not apparently sleeping with two naked women at the same time. I mean, remains to be
seen. Not yet.
Yeah, remains to be seen. But this was a surprisingly mature-looking game, and not mature in the way that David Yaffe thinks mature is.
Yeah. Not yelling fuck words and women. And
exactly.
Putting them into grinders. Like mature. In the way The Last of Us is mature,
exactly.
I think is the most obvious comparison.
Cribbing from Naughty Dog, and not in a way that felt like exploitative, like in a way that actually felt interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching Kratos teach this boy to kill, and it's sort of, you know, you're getting a lot of feelings. You're getting these feelings of, like, he, as I said, he's a dad, but what they're doing is kind of like perverse, and it's weird, and is it wrong? Is it right? You know, who is this guy? I was amazed by what they showed, I'll be honest. I was expecting to just, like, totally go to sleep when God of War came out, but what they brought was unique, and it was refreshing, I thought. And I don't know if it landed that way for you, Griff, but that really surprised me. Moving along to other things that stuck with me. Last Guardian, I mean, I'm just excited to see this game coming out. I'm thrilled that there's a release date. I know that it is a little janky. I don't feel like I have enough information to truly, like, know if I'm going to love it when it comes out, but I can't help but be excited for that game. You know, it is. I loved Shadow of the Colossus, so that's going to make my list. But I don't have a lot to say about it other than the fact that it exists. Mm-hmm. And it continues to exist.
Yeah.
Griff, I feel like you have a little more skepticism in that department, I think.
No, I'm actually going to say take it away. Just hammer through your next couple of things, because my reasons for liking a lot of this stuff I'll touch on later, but I think you're doing a great job of bringing that magnifying lens onto those items that were shown that did very well.
Yeah. That's fine. So I'll carry on here. Another big great moment, and really great kind of in the same way that it was last year, is Horizon. That is a game that the more I see of it, the more excited I get for it. And that's not always the case. See the example of No Man's Sky. Every time that they show that game, it just looks more intense, more interesting, more layered. This time we saw her sort of traversing the world, doing a little bit of like a mission, running by some dudes. I think she got a mount from taking over one of them. We saw a little bit more combat. Combat looks really tight. Again, it feels very... dangerous, which is fantastic. The world is unbelievably vibrant and beautiful. I mean, it just looks like a stellar game, and I mean, the art direction is spot on. You know, the design is amazing. I'm super excited for that to come out. I mean, not much else to say other than what we saw last year. Did you have something you want to throw in, Griff?
For Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
No, I think you got it all there. And the trailers that continue to come out continue to amaze.
I know. But, how do they do it?
Yeah. Like kind of like you said before, happy they're showing real-ass gameplay footage. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. But the last thing I was going to mention about Sony, though, is actually the only CG trailer that I'm making an exception for, and that would be Death Stranding. And that's just because it's Hideo Kojima, and I can't help but be excited for that man, even when he has nothing... real to show me. Mm-hmm. even when all he can actually produce is Norman Reedus, I don't know, having a baby.
Yeah.
And then there's floating dudes, and it's a CG trailer.
Right.
It was an exciting time. I mean, even just having him walk down that stupid little lighted walkway was exciting.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And what I liked was, I liked the pomp and circumstance about Hideo Kojima having his moment in the spotlight, which yes. he very much deserved.
Yes.
Unfortunately, maybe the project that he's showing off is not as fully baked as it should be at the moment. But, yeah. You know,
well, there's, logos,
the Kojima
to, there's logos to make videos for. So.
Yeah, exactly. But nonetheless, like, that moment of the show was just a great triumph for him, and I was very happy to, you know, just witness that and be like, hey!
Yeah. And we should comment on sort of the context in which these things were happening, because Sony's show was very unique, I think, in terms of E3 shows, in that it had an unbelievably brisk pace.
Yeah, maybe... Actually, I'm going to cut you off there.
Go into it. Yeah.
Let's finish off our specific game-related stuff, and then we'll maybe do a recap of each... The vibe of the shows at the end of all of our talks here.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So I guess... For me, those are my big Sony highlights. I see you might want to talk about a game, Griffin, from the Sony show.
You want me to talk about Become Human?
Oh yeah, go ahead, because I like that game quite a bit as well.
It was the moment of that show which gave me like the most excitement towards video games going forward. We found it. Like, we found the next genre. Like, this is the new Last of Us. It was like, oh shit, David Cage actually found a vehicle for what he wants to do.
Right?
And it spoke to me in so many different ways where it's like, you know, it has that David Cage-iness, obviously, because it's made by him, but of, like, the decision tree and investigation stuff a la Heavy Rain and Indigo Prophecy. But then it also is operating in a much more realized world and like a world that parallels with game playing, where you're an android. You only are able to make binary decisions, yes and no. You cannot think through the consequences of what you're doing. But I don't know, like the trailer that they showed, like it shows a bit of that, rewinds, shows more. I would encourage anybody to watch it. I've heard, I don't want to get too far into this, but it really sung to me. Like, I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, this could be my favorite thing I've seen ever.
That's actually a great point you made about sort of solving the issue of moral choices always feeling super ham-fisted. Mm-hmm. Just make an android do it.
Right.
And then it's like, there's no gray. It's just yes or no.
Right. Shoot there's or don't no, shoot. There's no gray. There's no like, well, if it was a real human, they would have asked them why. It's like, no, the android put the evidence together, compiled that equation, and then executed on that. Like,
that's,
like,
that's a
brilliant.
Good point.
Like, it should have, every game should have been like that. Maybe
Hi,
that's
Connor.
A context we need to look into.
Wasn't that what he said? He's like, hi, Connor.
Yeah.
I'm an android. No, it's funny. As I think as we were watching it and we were live reacting, I was like, I love this game. If this is a David Cage game, I'm going to be sad. Because I am skeptical of his work, because it's always so David Cage. In good ways and terrible ways. And this looks compelling. I'm excited for it.
And here's the thing is, like, Jeffy, I agree with you in that 100%. Like, it will be muddied. It will be done ham-fisted no matter what.
But good news is,
just playing that would be a delight for me. Like, that would be my kind of, like, gone-home experience where it's like, oh, I'm going to play this for an hour, and then I'm going to replay it. And then maybe try it again a different way.
Yeah.
And, you know, just try and do that. Well, maybe that Gone Home isn't the best example. But like,
like the Tower, for example. I mean, I haven't played the Tower, but I understand that's sort of what the Tower is.
Okay. I haven't played it either. It's more, I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, it's a game in which I can have my experience with it, be content, but then also explore other experiences in a very bite-sized manner. And that's typically not the way I would. Like, usually my experience is my experience because I'm happy with the choices I made. But when it's going through the lens of, like, an android, like, that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it definitely had a great showing and definitely piqued my interest as well, so I agree. You also had COD Infinite down, which that was a PS4 thing, right?
Shit, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the moment of the press conference where I was like, oh, shit, is this a new game? Like, what am I even watching here right now? This looks... PlayStation 4 is getting weird Halo side story. And then, you know, it wasn't until the end of the trailer when it's like, this is Call of Duty, and I was oh shit, like, this looks really, really good.
Can I be the guy who goes against the conventional wisdom? And I think you'll agree, Griffin. Mm. It looked better than Titanfall.
Yep.
At least from the campaign. The campaign for Titanfall looked egregious.
Sure. It did. As we said, it's part of EA, so therefore it is immediate dog shit.
Right? Like, it is an axiom. Yeah. That always holds true. But I was more hyped for that. I was like, this looks so cool.
Yeah.
I could get on board with it.
Yep. Like, I know the previous trailers and stuff had shown, like, land-based combat, and then you jump into your spaceship, and you fly into space, and you're shooting stuff in your spaceship. But this was like, hey, this is, like, kind of near-future space warfare, where you grapple a guy, and you rip his helmet off, and he dies.
Yeah.
Like, that's intensely disgusting, and just, like, gut-wrenchingly powerful, and they do it really well in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they will do it justice as we see more trailers unfold from this game.
Yeah, I was into it for sure. And I think that we may be a minority, but I'm with you 100% of the way. But speaking of things that will definitely not be in that minority for, we might as well hit on the thing that we both agree on, was pretty much one of the show highlights, which is the new Zelda game.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I mean, that was a game that they showed, I don't know, hours and hours of, mm-hmm. and I loved every second of it. I mean, I tried not to watch too much because I don't want too much of that world to be spoiled, but what a transformation. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that what they brought out was unbelievably compelling. I don't love open world, but I think that open world just looked cool. In stupid little ways. Like, I love how they're focusing on physics for whatever reason. I don't know why they decided to go that way, but I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Like, I love that you can chop down a tree to make a bridge, and sometimes you make a shitty bridge and it falls down. Like, something about that is just delightful to me. And I loved, you know, the look of the combat. I even loved the stupid degrading weapons that people were moaning about.
Yeah.
I think the world looks great. You know, obviously it's old gen hardware, so it's not going to be, you know, graphically amazing, but I think everything they were putting down, I was lapping up. I mean, Griff, I think you watched more coverage than I did, so I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about sort of what resonated with you and stuff like that.
I'll say this here quickly, and that is, before E3 happened, and the majority of those people those of us who follow video games and kind of have our fingers in the pot of the day-to-day goings-on and the zeitgeist of the moment of like, the feel of how, like, Nintendo's only gonna show Zelda? That's sacrilege! I think that the reason why, I can't say that, I'm speaking for the company, of course, and that means nothing, but the reason why they made that decision was because to show this game, or to put, the best way to show Zelda Breath of the Wind was simply to allow people to experience it for hours on end.
Mm.
Because if you were to say, oh, it's an open world Zelda, you're like, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's no way to distill this game down into, oh, it's Zelda Monster Hunter.
No.
No, but there's more. it's Skyrim Zelda. Yeah, but there's more. Like, oh, it's Zelda with a gooey futuristic art style. Like, yeah, but that's not even accurate there.
No, it's actually Zelda Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam.
Oh, shit.
Because you can shield surf.
Yeah, Tony Hawk Skate. Or Zelda Skate. There's no quick reference for it. So mm-hmm. I think that the decision in which they chose, which is, we just want to focus on this thing. Like, yeah, that may not have been the best decision at that time for investors who are like, do I want to pay for this company today? Yes, yeah. No. In retrospect, they made the right choice in just showing this one thing off, because it is expansive, just like the game.
Yeah. It's you have to have a lot of faith in a product to make it your headliner, and damn, that was a good headliner.
Yeah. And it's ultra exciting, too, because it's like, hey, we're Nintendo. Okay, so here's the scary thing. Nintendo, previous to that point, had been saying, hey, we're Nintendo. We're going to do different stuff now. Like iPhone games and Disney rides. And I think those of us who are, like, Nintendo, you know, fans are saying, like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, they have shown we can do something different with an open-world Zelda and make good on it. So it was, like, very restorative for people who are saying, Nintendo, are you sure you're making the best decisions? It's like, okay, yes, you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah. And this, it's crazy. Like, the game, it feels vital. It feels, I don't know if that's the right word. It feels like it has, like, life to it. It feels like this is something I've not seen from them before. It is mysterious. It is compelling. And it's something that I wouldn't have asked for as well. Like, I've wanted my Zelda games to lean hard into more storytelling, more towns, things like that. And this is totally the other way, but I am very into it.
This is like the Reggie moment of where he's like, you guys tell us that you want this. You want an old Zelda, but we give you an old Zelda, you don't like it. And then you say you want a new Zelda, so we give you a new Zelda, you don't like new Zelda. Like, he's like, what do we do? It's like, okay, good. You finally figured out what you should do. You gave us something interesting.
And that's why I'm pre-ordering Metroid Federation Force.
Congratulations, you were the first person to do that.
But yeah, I think for me that was a highlight. That was probably one of my favorite moments in the whole show, just to watch that game being played. So kudos, Nintendo. You did good.
Yep. You did it.
You did it.
Well done,
guys.
Did
it again. You made Jeff like Nintendo games.
Yep.
Surprise of the century.
Yep.
Griff, did you have any other big things that really excited you or takeaways that you were into from E3?
Okay, so not to get too... Well, just quickly here. Play Anywhere. That was one of the things from the Xbox press conference.
Yeah.
And that is the like cross... play solution that they made between Windows 10 and the Xbox One. So almost every game, I don't know if it's a mandate, but almost every game they showed, if not every game, was cross, what is it called? Play Anywhere. That means you can play it both on your Xbox One or your Microsoft 10 running PC. So great news for people who want to play Xbox One games and don't want it on Xbox One. Now you can play it on your PC.
Yay. But didn't they, like, immediately alter that after announcing it? I didn't really catch... I didn't follow it at all.
Me either. Of course, like, not really any of the games excited me enough for me to care about the Play Anywhere feature, but I like that they said, this is something we want to do, and this is... Unfortunately, this is probably just another one of those Microsoft initiatives that fall to the wayside... where they forget to actually support it. But I love the idea that they're like, hey, like, we're not Microsoft, we're not Xbox, we're Windows as a brand. So that's good.
And I don't want to belabor this too much because I think we'd be getting off the rails, but I think it is another interesting kind of point that muddies the water of, like, is it a console strategy? Is it a platform strategy? Is it a Windows strategy?
Yeah.
What are they doing going forward? And certainly, I mean, again, we could go on and on about this with the Scorpio announcement at the end and what the hell that means. It's a weird time for Microsoft, and I agree that this is a good announcement for us. I have no idea what the hell it means for Microsoft, but yeah, I like it too. I'm into it.
Yeah, it was a thing that I liked that I was like, good on you, Microsoft. Well, way to think about us, the consumers.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great. Maybe not great for your brand. Good for us.
Right. Not great for the Xbox One brand, but good for the Microsoft brand and good for consumers. So thank
y'all you. Y'all want a $250 Xbox?
Maybe.
You can buy them right now.
Okay. Oh, maybe I'll do it.
Anyway, so do you want to close the door on what we liked and move right along to what we didn't like?
Yep. Let's jump it up. Let's move on to the next bullet point here.
All right. What did we not like? 1, 2, 3, same time. 3, 2, 1.
Yay.
They were terrible.
Yeah.
They were so bad.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the show that I didn't like because it didn't really speak to me, but there was only a few things that made me actually uncomfortable.
What was... Okay, I'm going to ask you. I'll tell you mine first, and you tell me yours. Okay. Worst moment in the EA show? I'll tell you mine. So, do you remember when Peter Moore was talking to that athlete?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, my son plays FIFA. And Peter Moore was like, does he buy the cards?
Really?
Yes.
I do not remember that.
It was so bad. I was so angry. He was like, dude, make sure he buys all the DLC bullshit. And I was like, ugh. Oh, God. Because fuck you, EA.
The thing that rubbed me, regarding Peter Moore, the thing that rubbed me the wrong way was when his title was, like, Chief Executive Officer of Competition, or whatever it was. Where it's like, that's not a C-O-E-O-C, like, whatever you decided to create that title for yourself makes you just look like an asshole, and Peter Moore, you're better than that.
That reminds me of something that came up in my work with somebody who identified themselves as a Chief Energizing Officer.
Oh, nice.
Which is a great way for me to not take you seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a massive turd. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much to get into of what went wrong. the slam poetry from the guy for what was it? Not basketball. It was something else. Soccer, right?
Soccer. Yep.
Yep. Oh God, I am Alex.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell his name was.
E3 once again missed its mark. Like Jeff, you said before, like, hey, they're the king of CG trailers. Well, last year they just had like inter-development house chambers and concept photo picture chamber trailers. This year, at least they did something a little different, where it's like, yeah, we did some like CG trailers, but still everything was promises and garbage.
How many tours of DICE Studios doing Star Wars shit do you think?
Oh my god,
get?
I know how to get around there now.
Right?
I go to my work and I'm like, oh, I accidentally tried to take a left because I thought I was in the DICE studio.
I hope the next one is just going to be like either the employee lounge or like the kitchen.
Yeah, I hope the next one is just like a toilet, just like from the bottom of it, and then just poop out FIFA.
They just put a little R2-D2 in there making beeps and boops.
Yeah.
While somebody just drops a deuce.
Beeps and poops, yep.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. And why did they spend the money to have their show in two locations?
Yeah.
There's just so many questions. And then so many stars for Battlefield 1. I mean, that game looks fine, but yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, this year it has cemented the fact that EA has too much money that it knows what to do with. It is confused. It is a press conference that is trying to do too many things for too many audiences and not knowing how to serve any of them.
Yes.
And not doing anything well.
By the way, have you guys heard of this thing called YouTube? Because they sure have, and they were pushing it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the end bit at the end where they just showed YouTubers live reacting to Battlefield 1? Just,
non-stop.
So many painful
for
moments.
For, like, 4 hours, yes.
Yeah.
Also, some of the best gems came out of that E3 press conference too, like just embarrassing moments. So it's worth a watch.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not Konami 2010, but it's bad.
Oh, it's pretty close. not the press conference, but the after footage. Like,
oh, okay,
Snoop Dogg smoking a blunt on camera. Jamie Foxx and Zac Efron, like, making very obvious references to weed as they're, like, getting on stage saying that they're gonna, like, toke one up. oh, jeez. There is a few more celebrities there who are just, like, deer in headlights, having no idea what their agents booked them for.
Did they get Seth Rogen? I feel like they must have gotten Seth Rogen.
I think
I'm sure he was there. Even if he wasn't invited.
I think Seth Rogen, if this was a movie that came out this year, Seth Rogen would be in it.
As the stoner best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep. I'm glad we're in agreement on that. So yeah, it was a big old garbage fire, and just everything about it was terrible. Total, I mean, I don't know, I guess it was hilarious in its awfulness, but man, I hated watching every second of it.
Yep.
So that was probably the low light for me, for sure. But there were some other stinkers, I thought. One that I'm pretty damn concerned about, just in general, and it did not show well at E3, even though there, I think a lot of the bulk of it came from a pre-E3 event, is Final Fantasy XV. I'm super scared about that game. I think it looks like it has no direction. I think that the demo, which apparently they edited after the fact, that they showed during the Microsoft event, looked atrocious. I hated that it ended with a QuickTime event. Just everything about it looks bad.
Nothing looks good about that game.
I have no faith. None at all. And I'm not going to let myself go down another 13 trail where I convince myself that it's good until I beat it, and then I realize how terrible it was.
I think that the further and further they get away from, this is just like the bro trip, like,
bro trip.
The weirder it gets.
Yeah, they just keep throwing shit in there, and none of it looks cool. I do like the flying car, but man, that is... It is just a very amorphous, directionless game that just feels like it has no soul.
Yeah. No, it's not directionless. It's unfortunately falling back onto the original, like, skeleton, the original design doc of any Final Fantasy game that was made after 9, for the most part. Like, it's, we got to hit all these bullet points. You got to do all these things. Did you not do it? Well, now you're going to just die. You need to go die.
Yeah, it did not inspire confidence for me, and I think that I am struggling to understand why people are excited about it, because I think there are so many warning signs, and I think people don't.
Oh, it's
simple. They see is the flash.
It's just people who haven't watched trailers.
I think they watch the same trailers. I think they just are distracted by the fact that the game looks pretty. Is what it boils down to.
Well.
But I don't know. I mean, it's whatever the reason, it definitely didn't resonate with me, and it sounds like, Chris, you're on the same page.
Yep, same page.
Another thing that didn't really grab me, that seemed to really excite a lot of other people, was Resident Evil 7. I'm not feeling that shift. I don't feel like that. I didn't feel like I was looking at a Resident Evil game. I felt like I was looking at a Western horror game, and not necessarily like one that was going to be superlative. I mean, I have a hard time with that genre anyway, so... I won't deny that I was excited by the fact that they had hidden, you know, that they were working on Resident Evil 7 over at Capcom, but what I saw just didn't look like a Resident Evil game and didn't grab me. I know people were really digging the demo because it has shades of PT, but not really my thing. Just kind of meh, you know, didn't really leave a mark. And then I'll say my last thing, and I'll turn it over to you, Griff, because I think you have some stuff as well.
Okay.
The other big game that I think I'm not alone in disliking was Days Gone. I don't know why they gave... I don't know why in the otherwise fantastic Sony event that moved along at a very steady pace and showed a lot of different games, they dedicated two portions of the show to Days Gone, which feels like the worst amalgamation of, like, every recent major PS4 game. and, like, maybe throw Dead Rising in there.
Right.
It was just like a wannabe Last of Us that just had no, like, it was about bikers, and it just, everything they were pushing for fell flat. There was some shoehorned in, like, lost love story, which was really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed the actual game, and there was a guy called Three Dog or something. No, Three Dog is...
Oh, wow.
Not Three Dog. I think he might have been Two Dog or something. He was very close to Three Dog, but he wasn't.
Wow.
No, I know it's a Fallout 3 thing. No, it was something else. All of it just felt so dumb. And then there were lots of zombies running, and that was kind of cool. Like, I appreciate, you know, when they load zombies up, but I don't really want... I don't know. It just didn't... There was nothing standout. It was just aggressively mediocre. Really just a big... In a show that was full of hits and interesting things, I thought it was a bit of a stinker.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was a thing where it's like, huh, you chose to... focus a lot of your energy on this, right? Like, show it twice, right?
Yeah.
They showed it twice.
Yeah. Was it Sony Bend working on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the thing where it's just like, did you just have to cover something else up that wasn't ready and you showed it twice? Or...
Well, that was kind of the big question. Like, is there, you know... I can't remember what people were speculating. Maybe a Naughty Dog project, show like a CG trailer for that or something that wasn't ready, or I don't know.
Yeah. And to kind of pull this into my own territory, I wasn't as... I wouldn't say that this game rubbed me the wrong way. Like, it just was uninteresting. Like, yeah. Oh, it's another zombie game that's like post-apocalyptic. Like, so be it. So I could just kind of like let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the few other things that did actually make me uncomfortable during, or make me dislike, the last biggest thing on my list here. Well, I shouldn't say.
You have a couple.
But the last biggest game that was shown was Scalebound, mm-hmm. and during the Microsoft press conference, they did like a 4-player matchup with Scalebound, and oh my god, it was just like flashbacks of Lost Planet and Monster Hunter of like, hey, everybody, just channel your bullshit onto this glowing weak point of the enemy, and then, oh, you beat it up enough. Let's all mash on the next button to fight the next part of it. Okay, now rinse, repeat 3 times. And this was the thing where they're like, and this is the point of Scalebound. It is a 4-player, multiplayer, monster fighting slash hunting experience. And I was, at this point, I was like, oh, this is Scalebound. It's just Monster Hunter. Cool.
Except worse. And with no tension.
No tension. I mean, take the main character or leave him. I mean, most people would say he's kind of douchey. I don't care. I haven't really seen it yet.
It's fine. Yeah, whatever.
But the gameplay there, or I shouldn't say the game. The gameplay is probably fine. Like, shoot things, attack things. Like, you're coming from, like, a Devil May Cry pedigree, so I'm sure all that will be fine.
But it didn't look that fine to me.
In the grand scheme of it, when you're fighting like a giant, like shitty crab, do your special combo attacks mean anything when you have to do them 10,000 times?
Also, like when you're fighting the giant floaty dude, he was just went on with his arrows for like. So I watched like a 5-minute video that may as well have been like a 40-minute video. Because literally, he was just shooting the dude with arrows over and over again. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is the most boring shit I've ever seen.
Right. Right. So I saw the Scalebound portion of that show, and I was like, oh, good. I don't have to care about this game anymore. Like,
yeah. I love Platinum games. That I don't have to feel left out of.
Right. I love Platinum games, but this is one that I just don't have to care about.
Yeah.
Because
I think Kamiya's directing, right?
Maybe he may.
I won't commit to that.
I think he came on stage and talked about it, but I don't know if he's actually directing.
Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
The next thing on my list is just esports. Like, any time that was said was just like gut wrenching and gross. But whatever. And then the last thing I have on my list is just Jeff. You talked about how you like Dishonored 2.
Yeah.
I don't dislike what they're showing for Dishonored 2. I just disliked how they showed it that time.
What did you not like about how they showed it?
It was just weird. Like, obviously, the tone of that moment was tense because of the shooting and everything that had happened in Florida. Mm. But then, the maybe in a time where shooting dudes and stuff like that is a funny thing, that would have came across better. But it was just weird what they showed, where it's like, oh, I grab this guy and I throw him against the wall and I punch him in the face and slit his throat and kick him over the wall and I shoot him in the butt 8 times and he's just like gushing blood from his butt. Like, I don't know. Like, if you are playing this live right now, that's a weird choice to make.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe go for the stealth. Yeah, after the shooting of 50 people.
Exactly. Monsters. Exactly. I mean, and it's like, yeah, we have stealth. They're like, we have revamped the stealth nature of Dishonored because you guys didn't like it as much as Dishonored 1, so let's redo it for 2. And it's like, oh, you didn't really show us anything on that, did you? Huh. No, you didn't. Okay. You're just going to shoot this guy in the butt a bunch. All right. So that kind of just threw me a loop there. But I'm still interested in the game. It has me kind of coming back to the franchise. So that's good. Like, I haven't written it off.
Okay. I understand that. I mean, there definitely was some tone deafness, just in general, in regard to the shooting in the beginning of the show, I think, before people kind of figured out how to address that. Because there's something inherently weird about having a video game show after something like that. And it was,
exactly.
It was a pretty big deal. Yeah. So.
So to change gears here quickly, so we can get out of there. Our next thing is, what game that was shown had you the most excited?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, I think we've already, you know, made this pretty clear. Both of us, Zelda Breath of the Wild, really, really stood out for us as like, hey, I'm ready to love Nintendo again.
Yeah, for sure. Did we call it Breath of the Wind this whole time? When it is, it's Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah. I actually don't know.
It's Breath of the Wild. God damn it.
Oh.
We're fans, I swear. I was just going to say, really excited for it, really excited to see what the NX does with it, and I don't think we should talk about that today, but just so people know, some big stuff happened with the NX today, or happened recently with the NX that I think is going to make that interesting, and thinking about what that will mean is going to be really cool. So yeah, very cool game. Great to see Nintendo doing interesting, challenging, big things again.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then be willing to, like, change up their tentpole franchises.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a huge shift, and it feels brave, it feels challenging, you know, all that stuff. So
it's not just cats.
It's not just cats. It's not just plus cats. Zelda plus cats.
Zelda plus cats.
They should have done that with all their franchises, let's be real here.
Oh,
Everything is better plus cats.
Well, once they move to the PlayStation Plus network... I'll buy Zelda plus cats.
Can we just make it a rule that we just reference things that are too obscure for our listeners?
Yep.
Okay, great. We're not going to explain that one, guys. Google it.
Come and live with me for a couple weeks.
Griff, I think you touched on something that really resonated with you, but I'd love to hear your reasons.
Okay.
I have inside information as to what it is, so go ahead and take it away. I want to hear about it.
Oh, so since we're talking about what excited you, I have on my list Become Human, and I think I already did that justice.
For sure, yeah.
For, like, why that really spoke to me. But I also, this is a tough one, and it's like, I want to give it its due, and that's Star Trek Bridge Crew. And I don't actually want to play the game, because I don't really give a shit. And it's a VR game, so I extra don't give a crap. But... that moment of the press conference was just so heartfelt and so powerful, where it's like, it's Jordy LaForge, it's LeVar Burton, like, on stage talking about his time, like, playing this VR game, where it's like, you're pretending to be being a Star Trek crew member on the Enterprise, you know, moving buttons up and down, you know, pressing certain things as they appear on consoles, and, like, had 2016 Griff said to 2000 or 1997 Griff that, like, at some point in your life you will be able to put a headset on and do that, like, I would have lost my goddamn mind, because I don't love Star Trek, like, it's not like prolific and canon in my heart, like, I appreciate it more than I love it, but that moment of that press conference when they were showing all that stuff off and all those quote-unquote crew members of that show where they're like, oh my god, this is like what I do in the show. Like, this is the buttons that I press. These are the sliders that I press. Mm-hmm. This is, I know how to do this because I've done this for years on set. And that was like the throat-clenching, you know, gut-wrenching moment for me where I was like, oh shit, like, there's something here for this. It may not be for me, but it's for somebody, and maybe I want to get a taste of that down the line. But like, it really had me in goosebumps at that point.
That's so interesting. It's those particular types of experiences, like, I can be in the show, have never really resonated for me, and I think that's why VR has always kind of fallen flat for me.
Yeah,
but I can understand that sentiment because so many people have expressed it, and I think you're right. I think that is sort of the promise of VR. You're there. Right. You're doing the thing that you're so excited about.
It's not the game. The game looks boring as fuck. But that moment of that press conference where those old Star Trek actors are, like, playing that game together, and they're like, this is what we did for years. Yeah. Let's do it again. Like, it was just so charming. Like it's the God, what's her name? Ridley...
who are we talking here? Ridley from Aliens?
What? No, the new lady, the Rey from Star Trek. Daisy Ridley, or yeah, Ridley Daisy, or whatever.
You mean, oh, from Star Wars, rather. Yeah, Daisy
yeah, sorry,
Ridley,
from yeah. Star Wars. And she's got Mark Hamill on her back, and mm-hmm. it's like that picture of like, mm-hmm. oh, like they totally get it. Like, that was that moment, but for 20 minutes during this press conference, where these people are just like gushing about mm-hmm. their history. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I went on too long about this, but yeah, it was really good.
It's, you know, I appreciate that you highlighted something that, first of all, didn't really land for me, and also was sort of like a pretty obscure point in the show, because that's interesting, you know, that's cool. I'm glad that it stuck with you and that it had that effect.
Yeah.
Definitely not for me, but, you know, whatever.
I definitely connected with, like, with the host there at that point, when she was like, hey, can I just come to your house and play this with you? And he's like, yeah, we'll get the whole gang. And she literally was in tears at that point.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, me too.
I was just going to say, just to take one step back for a sec, VR in general didn't really rub me the right way in the show, but it never really has.
No. I think yeah. we've been on record saying that VR is a non-interest for both
yeah.
of us.
I don't think that they really made the case for it with yeah. what they did show. I don't think we need to stick on it for too long, because really yep. a lot of it was just dumb. Like, the FF15 stuff was pretty dumb.
Oh, it was all the dumbest.
Yeah. The Arkham VR was dumb. Just nothing particularly exciting. I'm glad that most of the VR games that I have any interest in can be played with a controller.
Yep.
Because I live in the 20th century. Like right. a goddamn animal. But yeah, that's all I wanted to add to stuff that rubbed us the wrong way.
Good. Yeah, fuck those things. Yeah.
Fuck those things, right?
Yep.
But carrying right along, I think this will be an interesting point of conversation. I don't know that we need to necessarily go too deep, but stuff outside of press conferences, stuff that you know, we didn't see on the stages, but captured our interest, you know, whatever that may have been. For me, I think the big one, there's a PlayStation Neo. That was a bit of a surprise. And that was like a day before E3. They were like, hey yeah. guys, there's a Neo.
Yeah. Let me actually back up here for a second. And yeah. I'm going to set this premise up and let you run with it and then okay. grab a new beer. Okay. But when I wrote this, this is interesting because you took this direction. My point in saying this was like, like news that came out after E3 of people who were like, I played this demo and it was in fact actually great. So the way you took this was fascinating for me, where it's like, these are the things that fell between the cracks of the press conferences. So mm-hmm. I really like that side of it, because there is definitely news and things that happened during E3 that didn't get shown during the press mm-hmm. conference. And I think both those things on your list are really cool. So take it away, and I'll be back in a second.
Sure. So for me, hearing that the Neo was real and not seeing it on the conference floor was interesting, especially because the timetable is, you know, what, October is what the lot of leaks have said. And I got to wonder, I mean, what is the unveiling of this console going to look like, and how are they going to position it in relation to the PS4? And I think there's a lot of questions about new hardware that I have, and Griffin kind of alluded to two pieces here that I found interesting. And the other piece, which I think kind of goes hand in hand with this, was that we heard nothing about the NX. And it's kind of funny to be recording the podcast now, where a pretty big NX leak has just come out, which I'm avoiding going into because I don't want to muddy the waters too much. But I found it fascinating to hear about the Neo, but not really hear much of anything of great importance about it, and hear nothing about the NX in an event where ordinarily you would expect to hear a lot about both of these devices. You would expect this to be the time when they were unveiled, when their features were talked up, when... Oh, there goes
I'm
that
back.
Beer. So I was talking about how the surprise for me, Griff, is that both of these consoles, you know, the Neo and the NX are coming, and they're coming mm-hmm. soon.
Yes.
But they were footnotes. And I think it's fascinating to see E3 not used to hype them. And it raises, and I was saying, you know, there's been a pretty significant NX leak, which I'm trying to avoid going into because I don't want to muddy the waters with our E3 discussion. But I just found it fascinating that these big sort of elephants in the room were just basically ignored. And we can kind of touch on it with Scorpio as well, and how that was handled. I don't know that we necessarily need to bring that into the conversation.
Sure.
But I just found it really interesting that these big things, which could, you know, really alter the landscape of gaming. I mean, this iterative console model that Neo is going to presumably introduce first, even though Scorpio was announced, you know,
officially
more yeah. officially, I guess. Yeah. the Neo, you know, it's probably coming out this year. Is the scuttlebutt? Maybe it'll be pushed back. Sony does like to kind of float fake rumors sometimes. But it's interesting to see hardware that is de-emphasized or that is given a shorter lead time for the public to absorb.
Right.
I just thought it was very fascinating. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot to explore there in terms of what we make of it. Obviously, a lot of people were concerned that the NX wasn't talked up at all because people thought it wouldn't make its March window. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, again, new information has just come out, which might alter perception about that.
Sure.
But I just found it fascinating that so much stuff wasn't talked about that should be imminent.
That in a typical E3 setting would exactly. have been showcased. Yes,
exactly. And again, I don't. You know, it's not like I have some deep analysis to offer there. But I guess I would say that our approach to these things seems to be changing. I think Nintendo's approach of showing hardware a year and a half before it comes to market. Clearly, they don't like that anymore.
Right.
I think it's emblematic of, you know, how consumers and how they get information about this stuff is changing, and I think that it's just interesting to see that shift.
Yeah. So. Well, to piggyback on top of that, Jeff, I think that as people have been sounding the death knell for years of E3. This year, we see it the most apparent, where it's these companies don't need to do this anymore. Like Nintendo, they didn't need to be a part of E3. They've been proving it for years on end. Of mm-hmm. we can have an event. Sony, years for the last 2 years since the PlayStation 4, like their specific event is doing better. Well, I can't. Put qualifiers on it, but they can create an event that will generate yeah, hype
exactly
just as well as E3 will for them.
Yep, they can just as easily take everything and put it in the PlayStation yeah, experience.
Capcom has been doing it for years. Konami at a point was kind of doing like an E3 adjacent event, you know, and I really believe that Bethesda is kind of just practicing at this point. They can unhinge from E3 and do their own thing at some point in the year. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of these companies are just kind of practicing, and it's the old dogs that don't really know how to adjust at this point that are still stuck there, like EA, like they're still confused. Microsoft, to be honest, like they can do their own thing, and they yeah. can do their own press conferences outside of games, but they still need to do their game conference, and I don't think that they really know how to branch out and make things interesting at this point.
Yeah. Well, their problem, I feel like it runs deeper than not being sure how to do their own game conference. It's more like what I feel like they need E3 to like legitimize their role as a gaming company. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they need to have a gaming event that they're at. Otherwise, right. they're like, well, I guess we can show you like a new Surface or something.
Right. Microsoft has time and time again proven that they can do events. But now it is the event that needs to prove that the gaming division exists. So yeah, well said there. Yeah,
blew my goddamn mind. Yeah. So it's I agree, Griff. That's a really good point about how these companies. It's like they're almost decoupling.
Yeah.
And no longer is E3 the place where you get the big news about the new console.
Right.
So interesting times.
Yeah, let me grab onto this here quickly, just to finish off this section. And you were talking about interesting things heard outside of press conferences. And now, to round back, the most interesting thing that I heard during the whole E3 shindig was that God of War is not horseshit.
it didn't look like it.
And the thing is, like, I was watching it just like you were. And I was like, oh, they did Last of Us. That was my immediate reaction. It's Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
But the more time that went on from that initial press conference viewing, the more reports came back in for people who played the demo, people that got to talk to the developers. Like, the more reports... consistently, report after report was like, oh, this game is not the God of War you know. Like, it's hack and slash, but they're doing all the right things. Like, there is destructive textures on things you're attacking. There is the change in camera, because it's not focused on just, like, Devil May Cry, God of War murder anymore. The world has opened up slightly. Like, it's not open world, but there are two hallways instead of one hallway. Kratos is not a good man, but he is an interesting character at this point.
As opposed to just being a soulless monster who shoves, you know, big boobed women into gears and then gets a trophy. Like,
And the like the axe thing that may have been the most obvious thing gleaned from that press conference, where he can throw his axe and you can stab it into somebody. And then you can retrieve that axe later in the game. The game is built so intelligently and that you can do that 90 hours into the game and still get your axe back. So that's what I like to hear. And I love to hear that the developers are aware that Kratos is a broken dude, and not in like a way where he's like, oh, I'm so complex. No, he's a shitty character that's broken. We need to fix him and make him more relatable.
Yeah, make him broken in a way that an actual human being would be broken, as opposed to, I'm just going to kill every person.
Right.
I'm a sociopath who somehow stars in games and people like me.
I'm not the player surrogate, you know, power fantasy thing. Like, I'm a human man.
Exactly.
And I think the best summary of it, and unfortunately we've gotten too long from time where I can attribute it, was a person said this in regards to the God of War games, and they said that the developers for God of War are now parents, not, you know, teens and 20-somethings who are doing coding, not people who are just starting the industry and have cool ideas. They're 30 or 40-year-old, you know, adults who have children and have been playing games for years, and now they are interjecting that question into an established franchise of, like, what does it mean to be a father who has grown up murdering and killing unquestioningly? Like, how do you teach that to somebody else? So I love that statement of like, wow, like, games are good right now.
For sure, yeah. No, and it's interesting, because I definitely that I thought what we saw definitely captured that I've described it as perverse. Sort of, he's teaching this kid, like, sort of things that are wrong,
but it's fatherly way. It's also like very natural.
Yeah, well, it's natural for Kratos, but it's like, as the viewer, you're like, I don't feel good about this. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, but it's also like a very natural thing where it's, 800 years ago, you hunt your prey and you kill your prey and you put your prey out of its misery and then you eat it. Like, it's not gamified. Like, after he stuck the dagger into the deer, it didn't turn into a bunch of, like, meat globs, and then he was, like, putting it in a fire and it was dancing around. It's like, oh, funny music playing, eat the meat. Yeah. Like, it was intense and powerful. Like, something that Tomb Raider has yet to convey.
Yeah, well, you got a nice dig right there. I was going to say, well, I didn't feel right watching it, but I felt not right in, like, the right way. Like, I felt not right in, like, a way that I would feel if I was watching good fiction and reacting to it. And that's cool.
Yeah. It felt, like we said before, it felt mature.
Glad to hear that was the talk on the floor.
It felt mature in a way that games are only starting to become mature. And it's even more powerful when it's an established franchise that's, like, rounding the corner saying, no, we're ready to do something different. Like, Kratos, he's not a good person. He's not even a good character.
But he's also an interesting person now, as opposed to... Well, no, he was not a good character before, but he's become one, seemingly.
Right.
So that's cool. I'm into it. Did you hear, Griff, keeping kind of with what... kind of how you came at this, was there any other stuff that you picked up from impressions on the floor that really interested you?
To be honest, there's nothing that we've talked about already that bears repeating. So I think we've done it justice at this point. You know, listen to Giant Bomb podcast. They do good work. Game Informer did good work too. Those guys who are close, I'm sure Destructoid had some interviews, but specifically those guys, they have something to add. So we're all set.
Yeah. Did you have any other kind of general thoughts about E3? I think that you really summed it up well with your kind of your idea that maybe publishers don't need it as much as they used to anymore. But was there any other kind of big takeaways for you, like themes that you saw running through the show or anything like that?
Yeah. No. I think that this year was a weak year, to be honest. I think that like I said, Nintendo proved it that you don't need E3 to have an amazing reveal and moment in the press conference. So, yeah, besides like the jokes that are already out there right now, I don't have anything. So Jeff, right back to you. What do you think?
EA's lost, Microsoft's lost. yeah, I mean, I think you really put a bow on it, Griff. I think that's the big takeaway. I think that, I liked the show. I thought it was pretty solid. It actually went above and beyond my expectations, but it's hard not to see some of the weaknesses and the stuff that you identified. So I think that pretty much sums it up. I think we kept it dense, we kept it tight, and we went through most of it. So yeah.
So speaking of going through most of it, we're going to do a quick break here and listen to some EA press conference wait music and then reassess here in just a moment.
All right.
Hey, so are you there? Hello?
Yes. I think we're getting some pretty significant delay.
Yeah, it's super bad. So let's stop and restart. From our 1 day break. Hey, you want to know the hardest thing about taking a break from a podcast for 24 hours? It's finding the exact level of buzzed you were last time.
we've been way over for the past, I'm going to say like 3.5 hours.
Oh yeah. I've been blown like myself. .3.
I don't think I took meth yesterday, so that was probably a mistake.
Mistake? Yeah,
I mean, you know, never a mistake, but, you know, they're going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, what do they call those, continuity errors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The the true fans will discover that Jeff has not been taking meth.
Until now.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, so I think last we got cut off, we had pretty much wrapped up our E3 discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
With our opinions and thoughts and good feels and bad feels.
We had them. All those things.
All of those things.
And now only one thing remains.
The final countdown. down, of who gets the most points.
I think it's going to be... So we have bets. Griffin's alluding to bets. And I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be like 1-0.
Right. So as... Speaking of illusions, I had said that we did make some bets prior to the E3, and most of them were terrible, and Jeff probably won. So we'll go through what Jamie had called and prepared for us. Press conference, paraphrase, poker. Unfortunately, he's not here, so we'll have to work you know, on his behalf. So I think the premise was we have to say what press conference the thingy appeared in, and then two, what it was relating to. Was it a company, a game, a studio that tidbit was in relation to, and then who said it?
And you don't have to supply all the information, but the idea being, if you can get it all, then you're just raking in those points.
Right, you get all the points.
1 point for each little doodad you get.
Right, and also thank you for listening thus far into the podcast. I know we're over the hour, so we're going to move quick.
We're on a tight ship over here. Get that burp out, Griff.
I feel so much better.
Got to get all the excess air out before we start this puppy.
I got to uncatch all the Pokemons. Okay.
All right, you want to tackle that first quote?
Yes, first quote is, a shitty spin-off of this game is available on mobile devices right now!
Wah!
So I had said, this would be said Ubisoft in regards to Rabbids by Alicia Tyler, and that did not happen on any front.
No, it did not. I had also said Ubi. And I thought Watch Dogs was the freaking shoe-in, man. I can't believe there was no mobile app for that game.
Right.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Right. Give it time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. Not at E3, but I'm sure it'll happen eventually. I got to say, and we'll just go ahead and say that Jamie had said Animal Crossing, which is, like, actually correct, but not right now. Just down the road.
Right. And also pre-known, right? At that point, there was the Animal Crossing app that was coming out?
Yeah. He cheated. Yeah. He's a dirty bastard.
He is. That's why he's not here. We kicked him off for right. Cheats.
He's been suspended for one cast.
Yeah, he's in the penalty box. He's in the sin bin.
He tried to Tom Brady his way back on, but...
Oh, he deflated the questions.
But yeah, no, do they even have any mobile app tie-ins? They were surprisingly restrained on that front.
I don't know with certainty, but I had a feeling that there was not a lot of mobile talk. So no. Let's move on to the next one. Jeff, take it away.
Right. Synergy. Synergy.
Good, well delivered. Good delivery. I figured that we would get a synergy moment in Microsoft in between the PC and the Xbox One, and it would be by Kudo Sonoda. So Kudo didn't say it. Microsoft... There was never a moment where somebody literally said synergy, which is what the question was. But yeah. If there was ever a synergy moment, it was during the Microsoft, you know, press conference between the Xbox One and the PC with the was it Play Anywhere.
You know, I'm like tempted in the spirit of not having this be a complete wash to give you a point for that.
I'm okay with not taking the point because because it was specifically the douchey moment of saying synergy. And I think I think Microsoft deserves better than getting this point because they didn't push it across as a crappy marketing moment of like synergy. Like they sold it. They did well with it. It's good for the players. Like it wasn't crap. So I don't want them to have this point.
You know that in the meetings preparing for this presentation, the word synergy was used many times.
Oh, God, I know Kudo was there just spewing that garbage nonstop, showing people the bottom of his feet, wearing weird glasses.
I was going to say, similarly, in the meetings preparing for EA's press conference, I'm sure that synergy was, like, mandated to be spoken every 5 minutes in an EA meeting. Like, I think they take synergy breaks just to break out into small groups and just talk synergy.
Yeah. And but synergy is actually the new flavor of weed liquid that everybody at EA is smoking right now.
But nobody wanted to name it.
Right.
So I got no points. And then, you know, Jamie put PC, the PC conference, and the problem is nobody actually watched that conference. Mm-mm. No human did, so... you know, that's unknown. That's in a quantum state right now.
We will never know.
So Jamie gets one qubit. But is it turned on or off? I don't know.
We don't know. Nope, we don't know. So the next bullet point on the list here, the next moment in press conference history is the only way out is in. The only way out is in. Yeah, so I guess in regards to this, I had said the PlayStation press conference, there would be a sizzle reel involving Outlast 2. I think my thoughts at the time were, would there be some sort of Outlast 2 there on stage, and it wouldn't get a lot of coverage, but it fit that feeling there.
I think your thoughts at the time were that somebody in that conference would say something stupid, which somehow didn't happen.
Right, which is good.
It's great. Bad for your points, but great for us, for
yes.
sure.
That's usually I bet.
Yes, I was going to say, for me, I had thought that maybe, I don't know why it says Tango here, somebody put words in here. Mm. I had thought that in the Bethesda event, maybe for Shinji Mikami's game, maybe there'd be a little bit about going in, you know, going to the horror land.
The Tango Gameworks is what I think he had said.
Yeah, no, somebody just misspelled Tango here. But unfortunately, not a peep from Tango Gameworks, so while I fully expect him to say it when the game is revealed, just nothing. they keep doing this thing for Bethesda Defense where they show Tango Gameworks is still an existent studio,
and then
just nothing from them.
Right.
They're like, we're still here. We haven't been gutted yet, but
smart.
No products.
Yeah, keep them on the line. So Jamie had said during PlayStation press conference, Adam Boyes would come up on stage and relate it into some sort of VR experience. No, across the board, Anna Boyce, I don't think, even took the stage at this press conference. And honestly, the VR experience, or the VR stuff that was shown, was slapdash and shitty.
For sure.
With no real exposition. So, there was no voices.
No, much like the rest of Sony's conference, and mercifully, they did not spend very long on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess keeping this steady clip going, I'll go to the next one. MOBA elements in a game where they don't belong and will totally ruin it.
Oh, yeah. So I was thinking, everybody's going to be riding this MOBA train right now, so it's going to be in every conference. And I honestly don't think it was in a single one.
Yeah, we really tanked on these.
So, good. Like, I love betting against my expectations, because I win no matter what.
I know, I'm reading these bets almost as a meta review of E3 as much as they are a testament to our inability to predict things.
Uh-huh. It's like somebody got the memo of don't make E3 douchey.
Yeah, we just assumed it would be terrible, and it surprisingly wasn't most of the time.
Yeah.
My bet, which was EA, was terrible, but surprisingly, no MOBAs. No MOBAs at all. And I, for some reason, I said Titanfall 2. I don't really know what the hell.
I strong-armed you into that one. Into
yeah,
Titanfall
probably.
2.
Yeah. No MOBA elements, though. Mercifully.
Right. Wait Jamie, for it, though.
Jamie was smoking some pretty strong peyote and said that Zelda would have MOBA elements in it.
Yeah, Jamie was smoking that synergy. And, yeah, I don't know. That was a reach, I think.
But I feel like if he had gotten that, he would have just won, like, by default.
Oh, yeah. He would have. Yeah. It would have been all chips in. Thanks for playing. Okay, so the next one here is huge established franchise now available both in VR and in normal. My bet was that it would be at the PlayStation press conference, we would see No Man's Sky get back on stage and do their thing where they're like, hey, I'm Sean Murray and I don't really have...
hands are in my pocket.
No,
and
no,
I just
pretty,
look so sheepish.
Yeah, you can't really hate me. Here's my game. It's great. It's, you know, a billion potential things that could happen if they could really happen. So we can't really QA it, but we made robots to QA it. Isn't that hilarious? I think so. Would this be... We don't really know what the game is yet, so we had to stop it for a few months, and then we put it out. So that was pretty much where I was going with that, but that did not happen. They didn't even say No Man's Sky.
No, I think that after the death threats, they're like, okay, maybe we should stop.
Right. Well, I don't understand the death threats. Like, why? I don't really... Like, the game's going to come out. It's going to be what it's going to be. Our studio is literally, like, under 10 people.
Yeah. beautiful Sean Murray impression aside, I had thought for sure that Gran Turismo was the ultimate shoe-in for VR,
mm-hmm.
but... How wrong I was. Really should have thought of Final Fantasy 15.
Yep. What's the other shitty car game from Japan this year? Oh!
We didn't even comment on their VR showing, but God, it was hilarious. It was taking the worst character in the game and having a Chocobo light gun minigame that was played with VR. So, great job, Japan. You're back.
Great job. High five, Japan. Nailed it.
Did good.
Between the cracks of our jokes.
Yeah. The other big VR thing that none of us guessed was Resident Evil 7, which I don't know if it sticks with the spirit of Jamie's original bet, which was that it needed to be like two separate versions or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably the game that would have won us this bet if we had put down on it.
Right. But also, who would have guessed RE7 with the track record of Resident Evil, so...
Certainly not me. Yeah, no, that was a big surprise. No.
Jamie just said PC, which, very safe bet. Very safe bet.
He should probably get a point for that one.
Yeah, he should get all the points for that one.
What's that?
He should get all the points for that one.
Yeah, he's getting 1 point for putting PC. I'm putting it in there. There you go. Kay. 1 point for Jamie.
Yeah. You get the next one, Jeff?
Sure. insert sports game franchise here is back.
All right, this is easy. Nobody said this. So my bet doesn't matter. Neither did anybody else's. So nice and easy, yeah?
So much restraint. You know, I guess why fall back on the classic, you know, you thought you were done with Madden, we'll wait till you see Madden 2016, when you can have somebody come out and do slam poetry.
Right.
it's just a new low. So yeah. they one-upped us. We anticipated the worst, and they went beyond.
Yeah. You won, press conference. You beat us. You did it better. /worse than last year.
1 point for EA.
Yep. 1 point for Pele. Good job not being there.
Yes. All right, you ready for the next one, Griff?
Oh, yeah. Insert game here will feature a major television actor from the 90s / early noughts, or I'm assuming aughts.
So, was there a game that did this?
Nope.
Yeah. I feel like Until Dawn 2 was like the great hope.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't shown.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You had Borderlands. That was announced, right?
No, there's no Borderlands 3 in the make yet.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we pretty much failed pretty hard.
Yeah. I think that was a fun reach. I think when we made our predictions, we had a good time, like, casting our wishes and hopes into that moment. But nothing ever came through with it for the best.
Yeah, again, not a bad thing.
Oh, shit. Out, but. Actually, this moment did occur.
Oh?
This was EA's press conference, Battlefield 1, Jamie Foxx, and Zac Efron, high as fuck, talking to the pundit.
I guess the game featured it in the advertising campaign.
It's not. So it's that. Not the exact same, like, verbatim question, but it is the spirit of the question, I believe.
Fair enough.
So, once again, none of us get points.
Yes. Jamie, once again, just the purest hash, Skyrim 2, did not happen. moving right along.
Yes, please.
insert well-known video game character here is all grown up and sexualized. Griffin, your guess was fantastic.
My guess was Zelda, 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 or Nintendo, Zelda, Zelda, which, I don't know, maybe it happened?
See, if you had said Link, then you would have had all the marbles.
Right, true. Not even. I mean, when he was in that, like, Matrix-style pool of liquid before he woke up, man, that was pretty sexy.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I will forgo myself from points.
I said Crash Bandicoot, and somehow you're calling that a yes.
Oh yeah, you nailed it, Jeff.
Was he sexualized?
He was put into a Skylanders game, so yeah, somebody's gonna fuck that thing or put it in my butt.
Fair enough.
At some point, there will be a miniature made of a anatomically pleasing Crash Bandicoot. So yes, you nailed it.
I was gonna say, if I Google Crash Bandicoot Skylanders, I'm pretty sure I'll find some interesting results on the internet. So I'll take that point.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie said that Barrett's daughter in Final Fantasy VII would be the one, which is just awful.
Yeah.
Isn't she like six?
There may have been some slippage at this point for Jamie.
There may have been some slippage. Yeah. Jamie was going, like I said, you know, he was just moving from one drug to the next after
right.
this.
Hosting duties, yeah.
Yes.
All about that embalming fluid.
Yes, and my dog is guesting now.
Oh, sorry, good. Guys. Hey, dog. So the next question we had, or the next topic we had is, there are no bosses here. Every developer on the team makes major decisions, otherwise known as the Naughty Dog statement.
Yes.
So
we might as well just say that Jamie once again cheated by saying Naughty Dog.
Yep.
Making press conference paraphrase poker and then supplying answers to the questions that he planted here.
All right. But also reaping the seeds he did sow and not getting them correct.
Yes. Failing to get the questions that he actually planted to win right. correct.
Right. So, Jeff, you had said EA and something about a MOBA situation. So, no MOBA, but I did make a note here that there was something like this mentioned during the EA press conference. So, enjoy your point. Enjoy
well,
your shame point.
I actually apparently went Ubi on this one.
Oh, shoot. I was looking on the next one.
Yeah. No. I went Ubi. I don't recall them ever talking about that. They were very earnest. They were very eager, but nobody was going to allow for a lateral power structure.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Sorry. And, I was looking on.
Yeah, and you would have thought it would have come up during the EA event since they fucking gave you 8,000 more office tours, but nope.
All right. Even though there was Amy Hennig talking about Star Wars at the EA press conference, there was not anything said around those lines.
No, not a word.
So save me and pick up the next one.
Sure. We worked with esports pros to develop, insert game here, so that now nobody can play it without being verbally abused.
So, excuse me. I thought that this would be like a self-realizing joke about the industry, and it would be done during Ubisoft, and Aisha Tyler would have said it, but nope, it did not happen.
Yeah, and it actually happened in, and I'll this is where I'll claim my one point. Mm-hmm. It actually happened in kind of the weirdest context that I could have expected, which is sports games. You know, esports and sports games, no big surprise there. But I don't know of anybody actually taking sports games seriously enough for them to be an esport before. But EA is trying to make it happen, mm-hmm. and in order to do so, they brought up... Hold on, I'm finding these names because they're that good.
Old Busted Collarbone McGee and...
They were Eric
Frenchie.
Problem, right.
Okay.
And Zach Lane Serious Mo.
Serious Mo.
Serious Mo.
Let's go to Mo.
To which I responded, no hoop gods, only men.
Yes. So then, to go back to Jamie's vote, no PlayStation, no Rocket League mentioned, nothing like that. But Jeff, take it away. You earned your point.
Yes, I'll take my one point. The only point awarded, except for Jamie's doofus point. All right, Griff, go to the next one.
All right, this 90s franchise that you all loved is back with microtransactions. So I had said it's going to be at Microsoft, and there'll be Battletoads, and it'll be Ken Lob, but he wasn't there. In fact, it was like culturally sensitive black dude who was on stage talking about the new Killer Instinct next thing and General Rom. So I was off, admittedly, Yeah. And also not a 90s thing. So way off, Battletoads new game not coming out, but you know, I followed my own logic. Thank you very much, Jeff, please.
I was going to say I went Crash in Activision. Pretty standard, pretty safe. It was reannounced, and I don't know that microtransactions were a thing. You know what? Actually, they are because of Skylanders. Do we call those microtransactions?
I don't think I would call those microtransactions.
They're more macro transactions.
Well, I mean, you can't pay the game a certain amount of cents to get further in the game. That's true. One-time buy-in.
That's true.
We don't know yet. That you had envisioned there, I totally agree in you getting that point.
Yes! Give me them points.
Get those points, Jeff.
All right. Jamie, once again, reaching for the stars, said Nintendo would revive Elite Beat Agents, which actually, you know what? I believe there was actually a statement recently made by the guy who worked at Innes about potentially bringing back Elite Beat Agents. So that isn't as outlandish as I initially thought. But yeah, nobody said a word about that.
Mm-hmm. Nope, it didn't happen. You want to finish it off here, Jeff, with the last thing?
Sure. The last thing, of course, is Nazi zombies. Griff, you're going for Battlefield 1. Pretty bold, since Nazis didn't exist in World War 1. But you know, I'll give you credit for your bravery.
Oh, you don't know that. First of all, you don't know that.
I said COD. I don't know why somebody put close enough here. Were there any Nazis? There were zombies, right?
There are zombies.
I mean, there's always zombies in COD. Right. That's like a point I don't feel good about.
Right, and the same thing where Jamie's... Well, actually, not the same thing. Jamie said Bethesda, Wolfenstein 2. The only thing that was zombie-adjacent was that boot screen that, hey, maybe there's something coming out in the future.
I feel like Jamie won E3 2017 with his bets.
He may have.
But lost E3 2016.
That is to say, if E3 2017 does actually happen.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the chemtrails.
The chemtrails. With all points being officially tabulated and all Chad's undimpled, here is what we have to say. The winner is Jeffrey Brewer.
Yay!
Jeffrey Brewer, what have you won? Well, let me tell you, you've won an exciting... Oh, gosh. X amount of time to talk uninterrupted about whatever platform you prefer on the next podcast. Not this one, because we've already ran almost an hour and a half. So, next time, after intro, or even during... You know what? Hey,
I should just bring down the hammer and be like, all right, stop. It's time.
Here's what is awarded to you. You have... the wild card of podcast. At any point in the future, you can play your wild card to have 2 minutes of uninterrupted conversation at any point.
Whoa. This is exciting times.
You've earned it.
I'm excited. Yeah, I think we all know what I'm going to talk about.
You magic eight-ball son of a bitch.
Starts with an N and ends in Nintendo. All right, man, we made it through. We made it through the whole kit and caboodle, and it didn't take us 4 hours for once.
No, thank you for listening. It's been an E3 recap, only a couple months late. Unfortunately, short, Jamie, but I think Jeff, you and I did it pretty good justice.
For sure, yeah.
So
listening, that kid's got to go do doctor shit, man.
I know he's got. You know,
it's kind of ridiculous.
The sad news is he'll probably have to do doctor shit like in 10 years from now, so he won't be playing video games anymore.
No, he's just going to be saving lives.
Except when those video games just become saving lives.
I'm pretty sure that like a lot of the things that doctors do are akin to playing Space Invaders.
Oh, yeah, like essentially, it's going to become like the late 70s, early 80s interpretation of the future, where it's like, oh. To fix this person's bad cough monster, all we have to do is connect this joystick to them and shoot the bad cough monster. So everything will come for full circle, and that's where we're going to be at in 2030.
Yes. Exactly. I'm ready for it.
Yep.
Anyway, You wanna shut this bad boy down?
Yep, let's close it up. Enjoy some E3 press conference trance music for the third time, probably. And we'll come back to you in X amount of time.
Yes, with Boss Barrel Radio will return. Dot dot dot
dot dot dot. In
episode 170.
When it's ready.
All right, dude.
All right, dude.
Bye.
High five.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna high five across states.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
I'm high fiving. You ready?
All right. Yep.
Okay.